friends. Welcome to Rough Life. It is the first transport of 2025, and we are off with a bang. We have 53 animals on board this week, 7 adult dogs, 1 adult cat, 14 kittens, and 31 puppies. We love those numbers. I know my voice doesn't sound as wonderful, beautiful, and lovely as it usually does. That's because I am just now getting it back. It has been completely gone, not so much as a whisper, the last 9 days. I was honestly worried if I was even going to be able to record this episode, but the show must go on. This week's theme is potatoes. And I know I said I was going to do a better job with themes this year, but I needed Tate to be able to keep her name, and there's not many things you can do with Tate, so it had to be taters. So speaking of, let's start off with her story. Tater Tot, or Tatum Tate, which is her real name, she's been with me for 6 weeks now, and man, what a journey it's been. I shared her story on the Foster's Facebook page, so if you read that, I'm basically just repeating that whole thing. You can fast forward. Tate is an 8-year-old golden doodle, but she is very small. She belonged to an older lady who is in-laws to some in-laws of a friend of mine. They said that the owner has casually, they thought jokingly, made comments about wanting them to take Tate for years, and they finally said something in November like, "You better be careful saying that or we're really going to come get her." And then the owner said, "Please do. I can't take care of her. She needs a better home." And that's the first time that they realized she was actually serious. So they asked her to send them a picture of the dog. It took her a couple weeks to do it. She's very old. But when my friend got the picture, she was horrified. She sent it to me immediately and asked if there was anything that we could do because she could not let that dog go another day like that. Well, she had to because Mama Becky decided to go to the hospital for possible acute liver failure that night. And that momentarily derailed my life. Thank you very much, Mama Becky. But nevertheless, a few days later and an AMA discharge, things were back to normal and I picked Tay-Tay up. Her name is Tatum Tate and they call her Tay-Tay. I did not come up with any of those three names for her. They're all terrible. I picked Tater Tot. That one was me. So our grooming partners were booked solid for the holidays, so we had to get an emergency appointment with our good pal Hope's groomer the next day. I'm going to be honest, I don't totally know what this means, but they said her skin and her coat were in such horrible conditions that they did the grooming over the course of 2 days so that her skin could breathe overnight. I don't know, but it sounds terrible. The plan was for her to go to doggy daycare for the holidays and then get her back before the first transport of 2025. But after spending literally 10 seconds with her, I knew she needed to come home with me. Tate hadn't been touched in over 2 years. That was by the owner's own admission. Mostly because she was so gross and smelly and matted, but also because the owner just didn't care to pet her. The owner got her from someone else when she was 2 years old. Her first owner might have been fairly decent because they did get her spayed. However, for the last 6 years, she has received zero veterinary care. My friend is who went and picked her up from the owner, and bless her heart, she showed up with her very own owner surrender form and made the owner fill it out. Well, actually, she filled it out for the owner because the owner couldn't write well enough. But when she got to the question, "Who do you use for the dog's vet?" she said, "Well, if I was going to take her to a vet, it probably would have been so-and-so." My friend said, "Wait, you've never taken her to a vet this whole time that you've had her?" And the owner said, "No, I didn't think I needed to." She also told her that Tate has spent every moment in a half bathroom, a crate, or on a small tie-out when she was let out to go potty. Tate had the absolute worst ear infection I have ever seen in my life. Her entire ear was completely black and it smelled like actual death and decay. I don't think that this is actually what physically happened, but this is the only way that I know how to describe it. When we did the ear infection treatment, it's like it popped the infection ball inside her ear, and now black, death-smelling, sticky, tar-looking goo dripped out of her ear and down her face. I sent the video to Dr. Burton, and she said she had never seen it happen before. Truly, it was the grossest and most shocking thing I have seen, maybe ever, but for sure in a long time. For the first few weeks that I had her, she only walked in circles. Big circles, small circles, ovals, paced the perimeter of things. Some of our vets thought that it might be from a brain tumor, but it turned out to be from that horrible, awful ear infection. And y'all know I rarely crate anybody. My home is puppy proof, and I almost only foster adult dogs who figure out my doggy door almost immediately. Well, I busted the crate out for Tate because sometimes it was the only way to get her to stop circling and just lay down and rest. It was almost like a weighted blanket kind of thing for her. Like, I know she doesn't like it because we have to pick her up. She's that small that we can pick her up and put her in the crate, and she runs right out when we open it, but she will go from circle pacing nonstop to instantly still, settled, and sleeping. That also turned out to be from the unbelievably horrific ear infection that she had. We took her back to the vet after she finished the initial two-week treatment. They cleaned it out really well again, and they said even though it was significantly better than it was 2 weeks prior, it is still what would be considered a really bad ear infection after completing an entire ear infection treatment. So we did a second topical treatment, an oral antibiotic, and then they also gave her a steroid shot just to give it all a jump start. 3 weeks later, she was finally acting like a normal dog. There is no telling how many years, literal years, that this ear infection has gone on unnoticed and unmedicated. Think about how unbearable that pain had to be for her to only walk in circles nonstop, to be constantly pacing, never able to settle and relax because the absolute most sensitive part of your ear is throbbing with infection. Like, I've seen a lot of abuse cases in my life. We have taken many cases to court and won because they were so horrific. But Tate may be the worst ever. Like, she's never been hit or beaten or abused ever in her whole life. But this is by far the worst neglect case I have ever had. It has truly been an honor, and I feel so privileged that I've gotten to watch her go from a pacing, anxious, and constant pain, matted up dog to a beautiful, playful, snuggly, wild, absolutely wild, 8-year-old dog that anyone would be lucky to have. Oh, and she's also got the worst storm anxiety of any dog I've ever seen. I mean, she can tell when it's going to rain like hours before it even hits. She's not destructive or anything, but it's just so upsetting to watch her shake and pant and tremble like she's afraid for her life. So I was giving her a sedative down here the few times that it rained, and on New Year's Eve when they were setting off fireworks, and it worked wonders. So if you're her foster or her new adopter, make sure you get some heavy-duty drugs to knock her out so she doesn't have to stress. She is my best girl, and I'm going to need updates on her wonderful, loving, full life that I know she's going to have. Her new family is going to have to make up for the last 8 years of pure torture that she's had to endure. Wedge Potatoes, or Dr. Kirk's mama, or Mama Bear, or whatever much better name her new family will come up with. She is the mama of the W litter of 11 from the Vines transport on November 1st last year. I covered their story on that podcast episode, but I'll give you a brief summary now and an update on how she's done since her puppies left. Her puppies were owner surrenders from our town's retired veterinarian. The mama dog showed up at his vet's office. This vet is old and retired, but he was feeding the dog every day. The vet had a wreck recently, and a friend of his named Roger took over caring for the puppies and called us about him. There were 11 puppies total. Jess went over there to see them one day, and there was another lady there who claimed she was going to take 3 of the puppies with her. They fought back and forth for a while, and finally she left with just one puppy. Neither Jess nor Roger owned the dog or the property, and their hands were kind of tied, so as sick as it made her, Jess felt like that puppy had to take one for the team so that all the other puppies could get out of there. Jessica told me that I had to say that, but I 100% disagree. And if I would have been there, I would have gotten all 11 that day, or I would have left in handcuffs. But whatever, I guess her way worked out too. The mama dog was also flipping out when Jessica was there. We all thought it was because she was feral, but it ended up just being because of this woman. Anyways, the next day, Roger went there. There were only 10 puppies, and while he was there, a guy showed up and said that he was there for a puppy and that the woman from the day before had sent him. Roger told him he could not have a puppy, and the guy got mad and argued and finally stomped off cussing and said he'd be back later. When Roger came back the next day, there were 9, and that made him so mad. He tracked the lady down and told her none of them had any right to be up there, and if anybody else showed up, he would file trespassing charges, and he wanted all of the puppies she took back, or he'd file charges against her. So the next day, all 11 puppies were there. We did not send the mom with these guys because we were not totally sure if she was an adoptable dog yet. But either way, she was going to be spayed and sent to our foster barn to live as a barn dog, or she would go on transport. Well, don't bother going to listen to the podcast episode if you were going to, because I just read you exactly what I said in that episode. Anyways, the mama ended up being a fantastic dog, truly. She was definitely skittish at first, but after 2 days, she was practically making out with Jess on the doghouse couch. She did great with my mom, Jess's husband, me, and my 8-month-old baby. She definitely seemed lonely, though, so we ended up sending her to doggy daycare at the end of November. She was so scared of the other dogs there that she had to spend the first few days in the little dog room with all the Yorkies and the Chihuahuas. So picture a... picture a 75-pound purebred German Shepherd in a room with a bunch of little Yap Yap dogs because she's so scared of the dogs her own size. After a few days, though, they did move her up to her size-appropriate room, and she had an absolute blast with all the dogs. She's actually being picked up and going straight from doggy daycare onto the van for Virginia, so I'm sure she is going to sleep for a week straight when she gets to her foster home. We actually didn't even know that she was purebred until the DNA test came back from the puppies, and they were purebred as well. So that was a fun surprise. Okay, we are like 14 minutes in, and that was only 2 stories. So let me try to speed this up for y'all. Instant Potatoes was found on the side of the road in the middle of the night when a lady was on her way home from work. She picked her up and called a friend who called us to take her. Chip was found by a man driving home from work when he noticed something tiny on the very edge of a 4-lane highway. He said he turned around to check and was shocked when he saw this little puppy was out in the middle of nowhere about to be run over. He and his wife have a newborn baby, but he brought him home anyways until they could find someone else to take him. They were so relieved when they found us and that we told him we could take him. Oven Roasted wandered up to a house in a nearby town. He is so cute that they just knew he must belong to someone, but after having him posted on Facebook for well over a week, no owner came forward. They agreed to foster him until transport, and he has been the best dog. They are so sad to see him go, but very thankful for the opportunity to find him a wonderful home. Diced wandered up to a house as a tiny little puppy, and the homeowners posted him on Facebook looking for the owner. After no one responded, one of our fosters offered to take him and quickly realized that he had sarcoptic mange, but not soon enough, and she ended up having to be treated too. But after several medicated baths and some NexGard, he's doing great, and the foster has cleared up as well. Aw, Grattan, I hate that that's her name because she's got such a good story, and that's a terrible name. One of our rescue partners posted her picture on Facebook back in October, and it broke my heart. If you didn't see her picture, I am working real hard to get my life together enough that I start posting on the Instagram page again. So I will work hard to get that posted by the time that you're hearing this. Anyways, she was completely bald. She looked so pitiful. Super sad picture. Everyone in the comments was like, oh my gosh, someone has to do something. Someone, please. Which is so unhelpful when people do that. Apparently, our rescue partner went to the door and the owner didn't want to surrender the dog. I commented and told them, just throw a NexGard out in the yard. The owner's going to have no idea that she ate it and it's going to cure her mange. Anyways, the next day, someone went by the house to check on her, maybe to throw an NexGard in the yard, like I said, but they couldn't find her anywhere. A couple days later, someone else went by and didn't see her there either, so they asked a neighbor what happened, and the neighbor actually happened to be the owner of the property. The owner of the dog was renting the house from this neighbor. So the landlord and this random rescuer went to the house and the puppy was there. They found the puppy. The landlord told the rescuer that the renter wasn't even allowed to have dogs and that she was pretty sure this wasn't even his dog and told the rescuer to take it and get it immediate help since it was technically on her property and she was technically allowed to authorize it. We technically were legally allowed to take the dog. And technically, the dog was in such horrible condition, we could have pressed charges and gotten legal custody of the dog anyways. But I digress. We got the dog. She was honestly half dead. We rushed her to Dr. Jamie's, where she literally threw the book at her and gave her so much medical, oral, topical, medicated shampoo, medicated food. She needed everything. She's doing absolutely fantastic now. You wouldn't even know she had such a terrible start to her life. Oh, but we also found out by another neighbor after the fact that when this dog first showed up, the quote-unquote owner would leave her in a crate with no shelter for days on end when he would be out of town. So, obviously, not anyone who needed to own an animal. Undercooked. Listen, sometimes I have so many animals in so many different litters that I don't have enough letters in my theme to cover all of the names. But I'll be danged if I let that be a reason an animal doesn't make it on transport. So even though I ran out of letters to use for my names, when this guy got a bespoke foster, I knew it was more important that he went on transport than having a good name. So undercooked potatoes it is. His owner submitted a post to the rescue Facebook page that our rescue partner Hope is an admin of, so she intercepted it and deleted the post immediately. She messaged the owner. The owner was saying that she would be moving and unable to take him, so Hope told her that she could take him for the rescue where he would get the very best home, he would live inside, never want for anything for the rest of her life. She went by to pick him up, and this wild teenage dog with wild hair runs out, smells like a Glade plugins. She had to crack a window on her way to the foster because he smelled so bad. After getting neutered and a much-needed grooming, he's calmed down and become quite the couch potato. He's had two sweet girls to play with, but he is ready for a family of his own. It's ironic that Hope called him a couch potato because she doesn't even know that this theme this week is potatoes. Couch potatoes would have been a really good name. Well, anything probably would have been a better name than undercooked. Oh, and I don't know what kind of doodle he is. He looked like a Bernie doodle before we shaved him. Then he looked like an Aussie doodle, but his paperwork says he's CKC registered as a golden doodle. But CKC registration means nothing. You could register a boulder with the CKC. It's worthless. The G family. So the mama was a stray that was hanging around a property in a nearby town. Then when the landlord realized that she was pregnant, she brought her to her home and she had our puppies there. There were 4 puppies total, but 2 of them disappeared one night when they were about 5 weeks old. That's when a foster went to go get the mama and the 2 remaining puppies to keep them safe until transport. The L family, dang, whoever is fostering or adopting Laura, whose real name is Belle, you better count your lucky stars that I was fostering Tate. Otherwise, Belle would have been with me over this break, and I cannot promise that she would have made it on transport. Whoever gets her is winning the jackpot. Laura Belle was bought from a backyard breeder last Christmas as a puppy for a 15-year-old girl from her dad. Her parents are divorced, and apparently the mother did not want a dog, so Laura Belle was put in a kennel outside almost immediately. Fast forward to December 2024, and Laura Belle had just given birth to 6 puppies. Well, I actually don't know how many puppies originally, but I know 6 lived. Anyways, when the puppies were 3 weeks old, Laura Belle broke with Parvo. Of course, the now 16-year-old owner couldn't do anything about it, and apparently her parents were no help either. Luckily, though, the girl was dating a 16-year-old boy who had just moved here from Illinois, and if you didn't know, every single person who moves here from up north is immediately shocked and horrified at how little people who live down here care for their animals. So, when this boy told his parents what was going on, not only did they take all of the six 3-week-old puppies into their home and bottle feed them and keep them alive and find them homes, they took Laura Belle to the vet and left her there to be treated around the clock for Parvo. There is no telling how much money they spent on these dogs. I'm talking well over $2,000 on dogs that aren't even theirs. Well, once the puppies were old enough and after taking them to the vet to get vaccinated, which honestly was probably a first for the vets down here to see someone bring in a litter of puppies and have them vaccinated before giving them away. They found homes for 4 of the puppies, which is disappointing, but in their defense, they didn't know about us then. Then a couple weeks later, the mom of the boyfriend messaged us and asked if we would take the last 2 puppies because they were going out of town for Christmas and she was really stressed about what to do with them. Of course, we snatched these babies up. And then after finding out what wonderful rescue Wolf Trap is and how great their homes are going to be, the mom wrote us back a few days later and asked if we would be interested in Laura Belle. She said after she was discharged from the vet, the 16-year-old girl just put her back in a little kennel outside and she really wasn't too attached to her at all. So we went and got her that day and put her at the doghouse because I had Tate, even though a golden retriever is Justin's dream dog. It's actually TBD if he even lets me load her on the van tomorrow during transport when he meets her, but we'll see. The H litter of 4 were actually a litter of 8 that showed up to someone's house right before our last transport of 2024. We gave her other rescues to get in touch with and told her that we didn't have another transport until January and someone else might be able to get to them sooner. She reached out to all the places that we told her to, several she found on her own, and all of the local vet's offices who all referred her back to us, which I think is so funny. No one had any room or even a waiting list that they would put her on. She continued to text us pretty much every day, so we told her if she could hang on to them until January, we would get them on the first transport. She ended up giving one away, 1 was run over in front of her house, and 2 disappeared, so we got the surviving 4 out of there as soon as we could. The F litter of 4 are the grand pups from Orange Juice's adult dog from a previous litter. Orange Juice was on the November 11th, 2023 transport. These puppies are also from the same mom and honestly probably the same dad as Elsa from the February 7th, 2024 frozen transport. The mama of these puppies is the daughter of Orange Juice from a litter we didn't even know she had until last year. This is this mama's 3rd litter, and she is so feral, it is unbelievable. We have been trying to catch this dog for over a year, and absolutely nothing has worked. And if you're an OG, you know feral dogs are my thing. Like, I love the feral ones. I love the challenge. They're the best dogs. I love it. But this girl beats all I've ever seen. We have a trap set out there that the homeowner sets for us and watches constantly. The dog isn't even a little bit interested in it. The owner has tried for over 2 years to befriend her, but she wants nothing to do with anyone. We're not even the only rescue that has tried to catch or trap her. Several others have tried and no one has even gotten close. I am telling y'all, aside from a dart gun, which no one will buy me because they don't trust me to not use it on owners, we've tried everything. Anyways, she keeps having her puppies under an abandoned house, and they're always feral by the time they're old enough for us to take them, so they have to be trapped, tranked, or tricked for us to get to them. These four wouldn't even make eye contact with Jess when she first went there. Obviously, we'll keep trying to catch the mom. I have no doubt she will never be adoptable, but we just want to get her spayed and return her at the very least. The R litter of six are from one of our fosters. She texted us right before Thanksgiving about a dog that was across the road from her house that had just had puppies. The neighbors didn't take care of her, and our foster was always putting food and water out for her. This is this mama's second litter, and our foster doesn't even know what happened to the puppies in the first litter. They just disappeared. These puppies were 4 weeks old at the time, and we told her if she would foster them that we would get them on the first transport in January. We were about to have some super cold weather the next week, so our foster went out and bought a kennel and tarped it up real good to keep them warm and brought the mama and the puppies to her house until it warmed up. Apparently, the owner of the mama dog told her the dog is not hers and the puppies are not her problem. So, our foster is going to take the mama to be spayed in a couple weeks with one of our spay vouchers. And I guess she's got herself a new dog. The S litter of 10 are owner surrenders. If you didn't know, we have a booth at a flea market. We have to have this booth because you dadgum people are so dang wonderful and you send us so many donations, we literally cannot store or give them away fast enough. So we have my old house, the dog house, where we use all of the closets and one whole bedroom just for storage, a two-car garage that we use half of for storage, and then the other half is where the dogs run in and out through the doggy door and the laundry room to get to the backyard. But then we have a huge, huge shed where we keep supplies and donations and all that. We still don't have enough room for everything that gets sent down to us. So things that we don't need a massive supply of, like collars or leashes, fancy bowls, dog clothes, all that, we sell it at this indoor flea market. And we use all the money we make from that for the animals down here. So if there's a situation where Wolf Tribe doesn't necessarily want to pull an animal because we've just committed to multiple other adult dogs with big medical bills, we'll say, like, okay, we'll pay for this one's heartworm treatment or broken leg surgery or whatever it is if you'll take it when it's healed. Or situations where we pull a mama dog and her puppies, but the owner has multiple other dogs that they're keeping, Wolf Trap will pay to spay one or two, and then we'll use our booth money to spay and neuter the rest. We also used it to buy Jess a big metal roof for one of her kennels to help weatherproof it. Anyways, the point of that story was the owner of this litter was buying a huge, massive, I didn't even know they made crates this big, crate from the booth. It was so big that we couldn't even have it at the booth, so he was coming to the doghouse to pick it up. My mom was meeting him, and I was meeting her for something else, so we just happened to all be there at the same time. And my mom asked him why he needed such a humongous crate, and he said his dog had just had puppies and it was getting too cold for them to be outside, so he needed something to keep them in inside so they'd be warm but also not able to run around and destroy his house. One thing led to another, and my mom told him about the rescue and said, "That's actually my daughter over there that's in charge of it if you want to tell her about the puppies." So he tells me he has 10 puppies, and even though they're only a few days old, he has been worried since before they were born about what he would do with them and how he would find good enough homes. You could literally see a 100-pound weight lifted off his shoulders when I told him that we would take them all and spay his mom for him. I told him that we were close for the holidays, though, and to text me every now and then and remind me that he had 10 puppies so that I wouldn't forget about them. Y'all, this sweet man texted me every single week giving me updates like, Pups are 1 week old today. Pups opened their eyes to this week. Pups are eating mushed food now. And I hate to say this, but honestly, every single week when I would get these texts, I would think to myself, oh crap, I forgot all about that litter. I need to make a 2025 spreadsheet and get them on it ASAP. And then I wouldn't. And then I would have the same thought the next week and the next week and the next. Oh, and another funny story from that litter that has absolutely nothing to do with the puppies either. My mother is notorious for giving out my number to all kinds of people, except she gives them her number by accident. I mean, there's probably only been one or two times that she's actually given my number the first time and not hers. Even when she's texting someone and is meaning to text them my number, she'll send hers. One lady even texted back and said, do you and your daughter have the same number? Anyways, I was in my car when I was talking to this man with the driver window rolled down because Mary Sue was asleep in the back. So my mom's like, oh, I'll write Katie's number down for you so you can text her the pictures. And I said, make sure you give him my number and not yours. She laughs. She writes down the number, hands it to him. He puts it in his pocket. But then I said, hang on. Let me see what number she wrote down because she is so bad about giving people her number instead. They both laughed. And I'm like, no, really? Let me see what number she wrote down. Sure enough, even after reminding her with us standing right there, she wrote down her own dang phone number and put Katie's cell under it. So I had to scratch it out and write my actual number. It was so dumb. But anyways, these puppies were very loved and very well taken care of, which is so rare for us. Okay, for the kittens, Jumbo Potato. I'm so sorry about these names. Jumbo Potato was found under someone's deck. It cried and meowed for 3 days before they were able to get to her and get her out. We picked her up a few days later, and as soon as we got her, we knew something was wrong with her leg. Well, first of all, it was cut open and bleeding, so that was a pretty clear sign that something was wrong. But when we took her to the vet for it, they said it was actually an old injury. It was a broken leg that had already healed, but because of the way she walks and where it was broken at, the bone would pop out of the skin, and that's why the wound never healed and it looked like a fresh injury. So the vet stitched her up and said it's either going to heal just fine or it's going to need to be amputated. Luckily, he did clear her for transport, though, so Dr. Burton will be the one who decides what to do for her. Bangers and Mash was found under the hood of a car. It took several guys tinkering with all the parts before they could finally get him out. Vichlot. I looked up how to pronounce that, and I still don't think that was right. Or Nala, which is her real name, was an owner surrender. The owner put on Facebook that he was moving and couldn't have animals at his new home. He was so relieved when I told him that I would ensure that she went to a wonderful inside home where she would be a member of the family. That's what our rescue partner Hope told him. New Potato was found at a construction site and was crying so loudly that one of the workers stopped, picked her up, and carried her home because he was so worried about her. His wife called one of our fosters because she was so tiny and pitiful they weren't sure she was even going to make it. The M litter of two are from our bottle feeder foster, but they were not bottle fed. They came from our foster's coworker. Her cat had kittens, and she told our foster she was going to dump them somewhere because she didn't want any more cats. So our foster went and got them that night. She tried to get the mama too, but apparently the owner does like that cat. We gave her a spay voucher, but our bottle feeder foster is probably going to be the one that has to take the cat to the appointment because it does not sound like that owner is too concerned. The K litter of two were posted on Facebook trying to find homes for the last two in their litter. A foster took them in and paid for the mama to be spayed since it was a friend of hers who owned them. The Y litter of two are from a large feral cat colony behind some apartments in a nearby town. A rescue group is trying to TNR, trap, neuter, return them, but typically when you do that, you don't return any kittens because they can usually be tamed, and lucky for these two, they got real friendly real quick. The P litter of five are actually not a litter of five. It's actually a litter of three and two singles, but they've all been fostered together and are roughly the same age, and I was really hurting for letters for this theme. So, litter of five it is. The two black and white kittens and the black kitten with the bobtail are all actual litter mates. Their mom is a feral cat that couldn't be trapped, but the rescue was able to catch these three kittens. The black cat with the long tail, the foster named Daryl, feel free to change that. Although that might be better than whatever he ends up with as his name. This is what the foster said. Oh, Daryl is from a crazy girl in another town. She found him in the road and thought he was dead. She actually got him back to health and then called me going on about how she was going crazy and she needed to get rid of him immediately. So I don't know what that means, but yikes. Then the gray and white kitten was found in someone's carport. It's a friend of the fosters, so they called her to come get it. That is all of the stories for this week. Believe it or not, I really tried to keep this episode short and sweet for the sake of y'all having to listen to my voice right now. But apparently my teachers were right and I am blessed with the gift of gab. We've got another transport coming January 18th, and there are some itty bitties already lined up for that one, so make sure you sign up to foster if you can. If you get a chance, take a second to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Someone asked me the other day what I hope to happen with this podcast, which honestly is a rude thing to ask. But people down here just don't understand how shocking these stories are to everyone else in the world. Anyways, I told them that I hope one day I could monetize the podcast and make enough money from it to quit my job. And they seemed very taken aback. And then I said, because I hate that some of the money from the rescue has to go to pay me so that I'm able to do the rescuing. I want to make enough money from some other source so that the rescue can use my salary on saving the animals that I'm saving. So when you take the time to rate, review, and subscribe, it boosts our podcast in the algorithm, whatever that means, for sponsors to find. And hopefully one day I can quit my job so I can do my job for free. It's a rough life, but someone's gotta do it.